Hello. Wow. A sea of gorgeous women. Nowhere else to be on a Friday night, right? Thank you, Pastor Bob. Pastor Tony, you are so gorgeous, and I'm so glad our paths crossed and that I'm getting to know you, and I love you already. And Mary Liss, where are you? You're gorgeous. And Carolina, I have stalked her all week. Oh, dear. Love being in a room full of beautiful women from all walks of life, from all different scenarios and all different situations, who have put it all aside to get here on a Friday night. Yay. Yep. You know what? As women, we sort of speak our own language, don't we? Like, we have a code of, you know, we say words and they might not even be in the dictionary, but everyone gets what we mean, right? We have definitions for various words and all sorts of things. But coming into a room like this, I was just driving here, and I'm reminded of this funny incident that that happened to me a little while ago. But I was doing something similar to this, and I had my girlfriend in the front row, much like my gorgeous girlfriend, Olivia, who's here tonight. And I sort of, you know, sometimes when you've like got a real burden on your heart and you're sort of like just sort of wanting to share it and do it well. And so I was in this space, and I get up and I'm feeling really emotional and I'm feeling like I could almost cry. So I have this grand plan where I tell everybody to sort of take a moment, heads down, and just like really reflect on this. And my plan is that I'd reach into my back pocket and grab a tissue and dab my eyes. And while everybody's got their eyes closed, I can sort of dry mine so that when they look back up at me, I'm like, yay, it's all good, nothing happened, and I'm not a sook, and it's all good. And so I go, okay, heads down. And so I'm grabbing my tissue, and I'm sort of come from a certain part of the world where I speak with my hands, right? So I'm going like this and waving around, and I look, and my girlfriend's in the front row, and she's like bopping up and down, like, and I'm thinking, wow, she must have caught this emotional thing that I've got. And she's bopping, and I'm thinking, far out, like, you know, just ignore her. And I'm still waving my arms around, I'm praying and stuff. And anyway, she looks up at me and she's trying to draw my attention, but one of the rules of public speaking is you never look at the distracting person. So I'm completely trying to ignore her. And so everyone looks back up and, you know, whatnot. And I sort of like just noticed that in my hand, I wasn't holding a tissue, but I was holding a panty liner. It was clean, if anyone was wondering. But you see, we can do that as girls, and we can think it's really funny, and it is funny, and and it's normal, and it's okay to carry panty liners in your back pocket. But I'm not here to talk about that tonight. I'm so not here to talk about that tonight. I want to unpack three different topics over the course of tonight and tomorrow. I want to unpack three really quick ideas. You guys are just going to be so overwhelmed with so much content in the next day and a bit. And so pull out notebooks, take notes, because we're going to share a lot, right? And so you'll struggle to remember things, but really just tune in and go, God, what do you want me to remember? And note that thing down, because you've got to take something away, because you're not here by accident. You're here by the grand plan of God, and you want to take stuff away. But if you rely on your memory, if you're anything like me, you'll forget. And so what I want to share is this. Tonight, I want to share on, if we are to leave a legacy, then you and I need to personally be resilient women. Tomorrow, I'm then going to unpack, if you and I want to leave a legacy, then relationally, you and I want to be kind women. And the third one I want to share is, if you and I want to leave a legacy, then spiritually, we need to be surrendered women. And so would you allow me to very quickly unpack, I've got my eye on the time, unpack my first message, and it's this. You see, you and I have one thing in common, and that's this, that we absolutely have no control over the storms that come at us in life, right? The only predictable thing about life is that life is unpredictable, yeah? That's one thing that you and I have in common. And so if you and I are going to leave a legacy, we need to get our head and our spirit and our heart around how we can do that, because that is God's grand plan for you and I. Because you see, if you and I fall over in the face of every storm and every trial that comes our way, we are going to struggle to leave a legacy, because we're going to struggle to get up from that hard place to do what God has called us to do. Amen? Yeah. You see, you and I need to get back up and bounce back up, much like just this giraffe. I'm going to knock him over once and then I'm going to get rid of him because I can't see some of you because he's in the way. I'll bounce him forward. But you see, life comes at you and I like this, and it bounces at us and it tries to knock us down and it tries so hard. But God's plan for you and I is that we would bounce straight back up, you see. That's God's plan for you. That's God's plan for me. You and I have the DNA of Jesus on the inside of us. You and I have the capacity to bounce up. But you see, life throws all sorts of curveballs at us that sometimes we get stuck in that rut. And I want to ask you a question. When you are in that rut, when you are in that hard place, when you are feeling like you're down, is that the moment in your life where you feel most inspired? Is that where your creative juices flow most? Is that where you sort of sit with God and you go, God, tell me what your grand plan for my life is. I want to live for you. Tell me, what do you want me to do? I don't think so. Because you see, in those places, we become so introspective. We become, I don't know about you, but I know that when I'm down and out, I become the most self-centered person on the universe and I feel like life is all about me. And in those spaces, I can't really hear from God. In those spaces, I'm not equipped to leave a legacy. And so I don't know where you're at tonight. You see, in a room this size, there's all sorts of scenarios in our midst. I don't know whether you're here tonight and you're like, yeah, you know, preach it, Susie, because, you know, I'm on top of the world right now and I just need that extra fuel to get out and conquer this world. But for some of you, you see, you've come from a hard place. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know whether you're in relational turmoil at home and you've left that behind and you're trying to, like, you know, just flick that switch and go, no, you can stay back there because I'm here to receive this weekend. I don't know whether you sit in that place with your kids or with your spouse or whether you're with your boss or your colleagues or your neighbours. You see, for some of you, you feel knocked out and down and out on a personal level. You feel like your self-esteem maybe is taking a battering. You feel like maybe your confidence isn't quite there. You feel like, you know, you just don't believe in yourself like you once did or like you'd actually like to. You see, for some of you, it might be health issues. For others, it might be financial issues. There'll be a whole host of scenarios in this room wanting to knock you about. And so I want to unpack with you today four keys. Four keys. They come from my book, Four Keys to Freedom from Motherly Guilt. I wrote it specifically for mums on this concept, guilt, which you have a definition for that, I know. There's two versions there. Olivia will tell you what that's all about later. But then I repackaged the content in that to help you and I develop four keys for emotional resilience. But very quickly, I'll come back to those. Very quickly, I just want to read up a piece of scripture. And it's Jesus calming the storm. And for many of you, this will be familiar. And it says this: that day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, Jesus as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" And he got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. And he said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid?" And that's Jesus's question to you and to me tonight. Why are you so afraid? You see, some of us might be sitting in a storm right now. For others, I hate to break the bad news, but chances are we're not going to get to the end of our life between now and then without a storm, right? And so Jesus's question to you and to I is, why are you so afraid? Because he knows that he's got what it takes to help you and I bounce back so that you and I can leave a legacy. You see, let me explain why you and I actually have these meltdowns to start with. You and I have these meltdowns, let's call them that, because there's a gap that exists in our life. Up here we have expectations And over here, we have our reality. And so between the expectations that we have and the reality that unfolds is a gap. That gap is where you and I experience meltdowns, because you see, we expect something to happen and it doesn't happen. The bigger the gap, the bigger the meltdown. The smaller the gap, the smaller the meltdown. The smaller the gap, the more capacity we have to rise up and bounce back. And so, what do we do with that? What do we do with that? What do we do with that? Does that even make sense? You see, if you and I have an idea that if I raise my kids well, they will be good human beings, and that doesn't eventuate, I have a gap. If you and I believe if we marry a good man, he will always be a good man, and that doesn't eventuate, then you and I have a gap. Can you see what I'm saying? And so what I want to do, ladies, tonight very, very quickly is unpack this four-part model. And it covers four key areas to help you and I become resilient women so that we can bounce back and leave an incredible legacy. The first one is you and I need to redefine our values. I'm going to rush through them and then I'll unpack them slowly. Secondly, we need to reprogram our thinking. Thirdly, we need to regulate our emotions. And fourthly, we need to readjust our behaviour. What does that all mean? Let's go with the first one, redefining our values. You know that gap I just spoke about? Your expectations come from your value system. You see, you and I have a value system that sits over our life. It's like our GPS system. It tells us where to go, it tells us what to do, it tells us what decisions to make. That's our value system. Our value system comes from three main influences. It comes from our cultural influences, our community influences, and our connection influences. Basically, in other words, how we grew up, who we do life with, and who we surveil. Because as women, you and I know that we're fabulous at surveillance, right? We scan. We're so good at scanning. And oh, is that how you meant to do it? No, she's doing that, and I'm not good at that. And you and I know we do that, right? You see, what actually happens when we do that is that you and I end up having benchmarks that sit so high that we miss the mark way too often, and we wonder why we're down way too often. And so the first key to emotional resilience is this. You and I need to redefine our values. So I'm giving you some homework, but not just homework for a Friday night, because that would really suck, right? But homework for a lifelong practice. Be mindful of what your values are. Work out what they are. Because you see, what happens is when we surveil other people and our upbringing and our society and everything dictates our value system. And it's only when someone says to you or someone says to me, is that actually even important to you? Because I've been striving for it forever. And my girlfriends sort of go, like, you keep having these meltdowns. Is that actually even important? And I go, I don't know. Is it? I'm not sure. And it leads me to go back to point A and go, is that actually even something that's important to me? When you and I actually work out what our values are, and we need to decide these with God, with the important people in our life, to sit alone, get pen and paper out and literally work out what your values are. Because when you work out what they are, you can say no to the things that are not for you, the things that are not aligned with the legacy you're leaving, and you can say yes to the things that are. And so that is the first place to start, because it creates a very healthy benchmark for you and I. You see, everyone knows what limbo is, like the game of limbo. If I had three people come up, two people to hold a stick on either side and a third person to go under, what's the aim of a game of limbo, right? To get the stick as low as possible. But you see, you and I do life in the reverse of a game of limbo. We think that the aim of life is to have the benchmark so high up that no one can ever reach it. And then we wonder why we're falling over, because our gap is so big. That's the first one. The second key to a resilient life so that we can leave our legacy is to reprogram our thinking. Do you actually know that inside your head and inside my head, it looks like a very busy freeway? Do you actually know that every time I make a decision and have over the four decades of my life, it has ingrained a pathway in my head? And so when I'm confronted with a decision or I'm trying to work out what to do, I don't have to sit around, time out for half an hour, I just work out what to do with that. My brain is in default mode and it just knows what to do because our brains are creatures of habit. They embed pathways and we just dash down those. And so no wonder the scripture says to us, the Bible says in Romans 12:2, do not conform to the passion of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Do you actually know that God created you and me with the capacity to reprogram our brain so that when our brain says, you can't, you shouldn't, you never will, you're pathetic, you've failed before, that I can actually catch those thoughts and decide to change those and to have new thinking patterns. That is how God created us. You see, if God created us like that, does it mean that it's easy? No. Does it mean that it's possible? Heck yes. Does it mean that God's on our side when we're trying to change negative pathways in our head? Oh, yes. And so I want to leave you with two words on this, metacognition and neuroplasticity. What does that mean? Metacognition is a phrase that simply means think about your thinking. Begin to tune in and go, what are the thoughts running through my mind? Are they my own thoughts? Are they the thoughts of bad experiences? Are they God's thoughts? Are they the enemy's thoughts? Where are they coming from? And begin to be the gatekeeper over your mind so that you can determine what comes in and what stays in and what needs to be reversed. And the other phrase is neuroplasticity. I'll give you another piece of homework, right? Knock yourself out, get onto YouTube, put this phrase in and have a look at what our brain does when we try and reprogram it to think differently. So do a search, neuroplasticity, give me a microscope view and actually have a watch and see that my brain and your brain actually grows new nerves and creates new pathways when we try and change our thinking. I know one thing about you. You want your thinking to be aligned with God's thinking because God's thinking for you is a thinking of a destiny. God's thinking for you is thinking that says you're going to go places. God's thinking for you is a thinking that says you are amazing and gorgeous and even in your mess, you're incredible and I'm going to use you. And I know that you want that thinking. And God says tonight that you can have that thinking with a little bit of hard work because you know what? You and I know that nothing's easy. But with effort comes reward. With effort comes the reward. Third key. And the third key is regulating our emotions. So if we have values, our values dictate our thinking, right? And I don't want to present this as a linear model that just goes one, two, three, four. It can go in and out and it's flawed and it comes back and in and around. However, our thinking dictates our emotional state, right? Isn't that right? What we think determines how we feel. And so if you and I can master with God's assistance and with the empowerment of the Holy Spirit how to change our thought patterns around, then guess what? We're going to begin to experience emotions on a whole new level. Does that mean we'll never experience negative emotions? Of course not. I'd be naive to assume that. We would be crazy to think that was even possible on this side of eternity. But does that mean that you and I will have less meltdowns? Yes. Does that mean that you and I will rise up faster the next time we get knocked down? Yes. Do you want to be that person? Yes, I can answer for you. Because I want to be that person. Because we all want to be that person. And so, how about when we do have the emotions, when we do get knocked over and we do have the emotions and we do feel it and it hurts and it sits in our gut and it stops us from moving forward and we just want to get under the doona till it's all over? How about in those moments? Some of you need to write this down. Some of you need to live with the tension. To live with the tension. Imagine if you've got a rubber band around your wrist and you pull that. You don't get rid of it, but you pull it, you live with the tension. You see, some of us need to learn to live with the tension. The tension doesn't mean that God hasn't got it. The tension doesn't mean that we're falling apart. The tension means that stuff's going on, but you and I can continue moving forward despite that. That you and I can safely leave that issue, that situation, that problem in the safe hands of God because He's got it, but we can keep moving forward. But I don't know about you. You know what I do? I feel like I need to solve my problems. I need to get it sorted. I need to, you know, I just need to tick this off my list before I can move forward, before God can use me. And God says, that is the biggest load of rubbish you've ever come up with, Susie. Because you can live with the tension. You can ride this wave because you might think that I'm sleeping. But my question to you is, why are you so afraid? I've got this. I've got this. You feel uncomfortable? You live with it. You'll be fine. You move past that. Don't you tune in. You tune up. And so that is the third key. And the fourth key is this. Readjust your behavior. Readjust your behavior. You see, our emotions are sometimes these things that we go, ugh, our negative emotions. They're so yuck. They're so blah. But actually, if it wasn't for them, you and I would not have the radar and not have the alarm bells that lead us to go, hang on, I need to stop. I need to come back to a place of peace. I need to connect myself up with the Spirit of God because I am needing to bring peace and calm back into my life. You see, those negative emotions are what lead us and arouse us to a point of going, I've got to do something. And so learn to make friends with those negative emotions and just go, okay, thanks for alerting me. What do I do with you now? And you see, sometimes we just need to do simple things. You and I know that when we're sleep deprived, some of you have young children, mine are a bit older now, I've got 3, 9, 12 and 16, but when they were young, sleep deprivation, that doesn't help you hear from God. That doesn't help you feel like you're going to leave a legacy unless your legacy is all about like how many nappies you're going to, you know. And so sometimes it's simple. Sometimes it's just rest. Sometimes it's reshuffle your diary around. Sometimes it's speak to a solid, wise friend who can speak some sense back into you. Sometimes it's go back to that value system and look at it again and work out where your benchmark is and where it really needs to be. Other times it's about forgiving someone or letting someone forgive you or forgiving yourself. Other times it's about getting some coaching around how to have a good conversation in relation to some conflict going on in your life. And all the time, the umbrella over all of that is coming into God's presence and saying, I believe, Father, that your Spirit washes over me. It can cleanse me. It can bring life back into dry bones. And all of these things together. You know what I love about Jesus? I love that He's such a holistic Jesus. He's such a holistic God who cares for every part of my life and yours. Not just our spiritual side, but our relational side, our personal side. Every part of us He cares for. And so, they're my four keys to emotional resilience. Because God has a plan for your life and for mine. And like Pastor Tony said earlier, every one of us has a destiny. And every one of us has a Jesus DNA on the inside, very capable of living out that destiny. But we need to do our part. We need to say, Jesus, I'm not letting the storms of life that try and knock me down keep me down. Because in Jesus' name, I'm going to get back up and I'm going to move forward and I can live with the tension. And I can have you transform me in every way needed so that I can become your amazing, incredible, work in progress daughter. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much.